What's in a name? In the play Romeo and Juliet, the heroine is struggling with the long-standing conflict between Romeo's Montague family and her own Capulet family. Juliet asks the question, what's in a name? What's in a name? The Methodist denomination that I grew up in was called Methodist because of the methodical way in which they carried out their Christian faith. As I understand it, the word Methodist was originally used as a term of contempt. What's in a name? I don't know about you, but I feel that for many people, when they hear the terms Christian and Christianity, they often think of someone with a holier-than-thou attitude, or even someone who may have committed sexual abuse. The term believer is good, although I'm beginning to prefer the word follower or follower of Jesus. To me, this description focuses more on the person being followed rather than on me. Today, I'm going to use a different term to welcome you. So, welcome, snowflakes. Are you offended at being called a snowflake? If you thought that I was using the term as a slang word, you may be right to be offended. According to that font of knowledge, Wikipedia, snowflake is a 2010 derogatory slang term for a person implying that they have an inflated sense of uniqueness, an unwarranted sense of entitlement, or are overly emotional, easily offended, and unable to deal with opposing opinions. However, when I called you snowflake, you might have thought of an extremely cold water droplet freezing onto a pollen or dust particle in the sky, which then creates an ice crystal. You may have been imagining something like this. From a single ice crystal, these amazing patterns form according to different weather conditions. Snowflakes are renowned for their uniqueness. No matter how many billions of them fall from the sky, there are never two snowflakes the same. For followers of Jesus, I believe that it is useful to hold both these two descriptions in tension. Like the physical snowflake, each one of us is unique. God even knows the number of hairs that grow on each of our heads. On the other hand, we need to guard against having an inflated sense of our uniqueness or an unwarranted sense of entitlement. Hello, my name is Laurie and I'll be leading our time together today. So, from one snowflake to another, I say welcome. Later on in our time together, we'll be considering the mind and the plans of God for each one of us.
Lord of heaven and earth.
I have a challenge for you, a puzzle to solve. Can you join the 9 dots of this square using only 4 straight lines without lifting your pen? I will give you a short time to think about it. Now, I know I didn't give you much time, but how did you go? Were you able to figure it out in your head? Were you able to join the 9 dots using only 4 straight lines without lifting the pen? Here are some attempts to solve this puzzle. Here's the first attempt. We've got all the sides done, but there's missing one in the middle. Here's the second attempt. Got the middle one, but still missing another one. Here's the third attempt. We're getting worse now. So, how do you join the 9 dots using only 4 straight lines without lifting the pen? Let me show you. Here's our first slide. A simple line. Here's our second line. Now that's a little bit different. Here's our third line. Still something different. And finally, our fourth line. So, despite your initial doubts, it is possible to join the 9 dots with only 4 straight lines without lifting the pen. To solve this puzzle, we needed to think outside the box. Later today, we will consider how God constantly thinks outside the box to achieve his purposes, and how he challenges us to join him outside the box.
Hi, how everybody, my name's Graham. Today's Bible reading comes from John 12, 20-33. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then in a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said, it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die.
This puzzle reminds me of God, a God who is constantly thinking outside the box. He consistently thinks differently to what you or I may consider normal or acceptable. Who else would choose an 80-year-old man who was on the run for killing another man to lead hundreds of thousands of people out of slavery? Well, God chose Moses. Who else would describe a man who had committed adultery and then murdered her husband as a man after his, God's, own heart? Well, that's how God described David. Who else would choose the young peasant girl from the backblocks of an insignificant country to be the mother of the Son of God? Well, God chose Mary. From today's Bible reading, I particularly want to focus on verses 24 to 26. They read, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me." Let's read these verses again, but this time from the Message version of the Bible. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. If any of you want to serve me, then follow me. Then you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will honour and reward anyone who serves me. The concept of a grain of wheat being buried in the ground, dead to the world, and then subsequently sprouting and producing ears of wheat, is fairly straightforward to us. How else will we get our bread rolls or loaf of bread? Applying this concept to ourselves becomes a little more challenging. What in your life do you need to die to? What in my life do I need to die to? But by and large, I like my life just the way it is, we might say. What does this next part of the passage say? In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. Are you a reckless person? Am I a reckless person? In our society, recklessness is not considered a virtue. In fact, synonyms for recklessness include irresponsible, careless, wild, thoughtless, hasty. And yet, in this passage, Jesus is challenging us to be reckless in our love. How can you be reckless in your love? How can I be reckless in my love? Let me show you a picture. This is a picture of a homeless man. Judging by the untidiness and length of his hair, this man has probably been homeless for some years. He might be dirty and smelly. His eyes look kind, but that could be deceptive. He may have mental health issues. You could have seen similar people to this man sitting on the footpath around railway stations, particularly in the city. They usually have all their worldly possessions around them contained in a number of stripy bags or in a shopping trolley. Would you speak to this person? Or would you hurry past with your eyes averted? Taking it a step further, would you make friends with this person? Let me show you a second picture. What about this man? Would you speak to this person? Would you make friends with this person? You may have guessed that both these pictures are of the same man. They are taken from a short video clip I found on the internet. A barber in Paris, France, gave this homeless man a free haircut and in the process transformed his appearance and his appeal. The challenge for you and the challenge for me is to look past the outward appearance and to see a person who has been made in the image of God. I am reminded of the words we find in the Good Book. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Here is a question for you and for me. Who is your homeless person? Who is my homeless person? That person may not be homeless. They may have some other issue. They may not be a man. They may be a woman. Ask God to reveal to you the person he wants you to extend reckless love to. Extending reckless love will be challenging. It will demand that you and I move out of our comfort zones. It will demand that you and I die to ourselves. Are you up for the challenge? Am I up for the challenge? I'll finish with a humorous story. In the mid-1980s, Beryl and I were the New South Wales distributors for a small family company in Victoria called Manor House. This company produced Easter eggs and Christmas gifts with Christian messages on the packaging. At the time I was a policeman. I travelled to and from work by train, and I usually travelled in full police uniform. The suburb where I was then working had a large and busy railway station, with many trains coming and going and many people about. Often, when I walked outside the station, I would see various homeless people scattered about the footpath. After a while, a particular homeless person caught my eye. She was a middle-aged lady who looked very dirty and untidy. It was coming up to Easter, and gradually over a period of time, I felt led that I should give this homeless person a gift. I decided that I would give her a box of shortbread biscuits. I would not stop and try and engage her in conversation. That would be probably too much for her. I would just give her the gift and move on. The box of biscuits would be food for her, and additionally the box had a Christian message on it. I think that I carried that box of biscuits in my bag for a number of days, looking for a suitable opportunity to give the gift. Finally, it was the day before Good Friday, and I knew I had to make my move. I came out of the railway station and I saw her on the footpath some distance away. I started to walk towards her. Now, people who live on the street usually have a heightened sense of what's happening around about them. As I started to walk towards this lady with the box of biscuits in my hand, ready to give to her, she started to move away. I started to walk faster towards her. She started to walk faster away from me and duck down a side passage. Being a good policeman, I was familiar with the layout of the station, and I knew that if I walked around the other way, I would be able to catch up with her. For a short time, we were out of sight of each other. Then our paths converged, and we were immediately aware of each other, and only a few feet apart. This must have startled the lady too much, and she gave a deep, guttural growl and scurried away. I never did get to give that lady my gift of biscuits with an Easter message. On reflection, I realised that probably all the lady saw was a policeman bearing down on her, and no doubt from past experience, any police action meant trouble for her. I, on the other hand, should have realised that and perhaps not been in full police uniform. So, this is a good example of how not to go about extending reckless love. But we all make mistakes. The important thing is to learn from our mistakes. As I mentioned a short time ago, extending reckless love will be challenging. it will demand that you and I move out of our comfort zones. It will demand that you and I die to ourselves. Are you up for the challenge? Am I up for the challenge? Amen.
Good morning, church. My name is Josiah, and I'll be leading us all this morning in the prayer for the people. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty, gracious and loving God, we are all gathered here this morning to come to you in prayer. We are thankful, Lord, for the wonderful gift of praying. It is a time where we open our hearts and minds to you. It is also a place of solace and peace. May your Holy Spirit open up our eyes and ears so that we may hear and receive your message today, Lord Jesus. May it also open up our hearts to not only accept your message, but to also live our life in accordance with your message. We, the members, non-members and viewers of the Lagana Peace United Church, are a family united by Christ, in Christ and for Christ. At this time, Lord, I want to lift up in prayer the concerns and hardships of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Whatever they may be, financial, mental, spiritual, physical, emotional, may your Holy Spirit bring peace upon us all. I pray for comfort and strength to be upon us all. Lord, I lift up Richard Hannah to you in prayer. This past week we have learned that Richard has been dealing with some health issues as of late. We ask that you may lay your healing hands upon Richard and that you may guide him through a safe and speedy recovery. I pray for every single member of the Lagana Pickish Uniting Church, whatever they may be going through, Lord, in their personal lives, I pray for your peace, comfort, strength, love, discernment to be upon them. We lift up Reverend Il Wong and his family up to you in prayer. We are grateful for the love and dedication that Reverend Il Wong and his family have shown to not only us, his church family, but also to the wider community. At this time, Lord, we pray for our chairperson of the Church Council, Pamela Hannah, and the members of the Church Council. As they continue to discuss church matters, we pray for your discernment to be with them. We pray for our church missions. We pray for Natalie and her team that run Amazing Music on a weekly basis. We also pray for Jan and her team that organize and run Message Church. We are thankful for their continuous commitment to run Amazing Music, but also their determination to continue with this ministry. We pray for peace, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and love to be upon them all. We also pray for the other various church groups and missions that are run and supported by our church families. May they continue to turn to you, Lord Jesus, for continuous guidance, direction, Lord. Lord, we give you thanks for Rob Lewis and the team who work hard to produce our online services on a weekly basis. We thank you for the commitment and love in organizing and delivering these online services. We pray for our leader Scott Morrison, his cabinet and his team of experts. We pray that they will turn to you, Lord Jesus, for the wisdom and knowledge as they continue to lead our nation from this pandemic. And we pray that they continue to lean on you for your guidance, Lord Jesus, through it all. Lord Jesus, I pray that as members of the congregation, may we continue to put our focus on you. May we continue to love one another, encourage one another, care for one another, and most importantly, pray for one another. We pray and give thanks for all these things in your mighty name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now we come to our announcements. The first Message Church that we're holding this year is to be held next Sunday, the 28th of March, down at Everett Park at Lagana, and the theme is Scavenger Hunt. Now you can register via email with the details on the screen, or even by Eventbrite, and again the details are on the screen. Messy Church is looking for help from us. They'd like us to save any cardboard boxes, containers, such as cereal boxes, tissue boxes, egg cartons, and tubes from alfoil, kitchen wrap, paper towel. Also, if you can bring any plastic bottle tops, any size, bring them along to church on Sunday or leave them in the kitchen. Thank you. They need lots. Our minister, Ilung, will be back from leave this week and will be leading next Sunday's gathering. Don't forget to personally attend our morning service. You just need to register with Beryl, and her details are on the screen now. Our blessing for today. From one snowflake to another, may we increasingly recognise God in action as he works outside the box, today and in the weeks ahead. We ask him to help us to have the courage to join him outside the box and to discover the ways in which he wants us to be reckless in our love. Until next time, God bless. I got no worries. Me.